Welcome to Kadampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kadampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
The main topic for tonight is developing mindfulness and focus, which is a very relevant topic. Although Buddha taught such a long time ago, focus, mindfulness is so, we understand actually how important it is. And there's a lot of interesting research and facts out there. You know, you could Google it about attention span and what is mindfulness and so forth. There's a lot of interest in this these days, and maybe even more so in the last 10 or 15 years as technology has become an ever-present part of our life. And there's the ability to be engaging in all kinds of worlds, you know, at any moment. So, so we can know that developing our mindfulness, our concentration and our attention, all of these are entirely possible if we go about it systematically, if we go about it with the approach of training. So the mind has power. We know this, right? The mind is like an engine. It's a power source. The mind can take us through its power to very happy places. The mind can take us through imagination and the power of imagination to many different places. The mind can take us into places of fear or worry. You know, the mind has an incredible amount of power. And from Buddhist teaching, our mind is what is creating everything. Our mind is what is creating our experience of everything. And on many different levels, we say and we teach that mind is creator. Okay? Mind is the creator on so many different levels. Levels we can understand right now, levels which are a little more difficult to understand. But on every level, all level, mind is the creator. This means that mind has power. Would you agree or disagree if you think about your own mind, how powerful that is? Yeah, I think we'd all agree if we spend some time thinking about our states of mind and how we've used our mind or how our mind has used us in the course of our life, practically agree that mind has power. So through training, through mental exercises such as meditation, we can develop the power of our mind. We can improve our attention, our mindfulness, our concentration if we go about by training. And we know this physically, right? We know this. If we've trained physically, then we develop our physical power. You know? It's exactly the same. If we train in meditation, we will develop the positive power, let's say, of our mind. It's just a matter of practice or training. So that's up to us, right? No one can train us. We could have a physical trainer and they could be like, I'll do this, and we don't do it. No, we're not being trained, right? We have to train ourselves, you know? There's only the same with the minds. Lots of instructions, I could guide you all day long, but if you don't follow, if you don't do it, then you're not training, right? So the training is incumbent upon each one of us. Now, we may not have thought about meditation as a training. Like if we may think of meditation as relaxing. We might think of training as different from relaxing, right? Actually, if we think of the word training, the connotation isn't necessarily of relaxing. There's some work. There's some energy that's got to be put in, right? So I want to address this because I think we can have an obstacle when we think about kind of meditation from one point of view or another. And if we are only thinking about meditation from the relaxing point of view, and it's very relaxing, but if we're only thinking about it from that point of view and we hold on to that idea, it can be a little bit of an obstacle to understanding the practice of meditation as a mental training, okay? And is something that we progress in, and through it, we develop something very special. So it is relaxing, but maybe I could say it's like a gentle training. The Buddhist methods are very gentle. They help us to learn how to transform our ways of thinking, therefore our ways of feeling. It's an internal and very gentle process, very organic process of training the mind or of changing our experience. So this, I think, is helpful to know, that it's a gentle training and therefore very enjoyable, you know? Like if, in terms of yoga, you've got like power yoga and then you have like flow yoga, you know? And they're different. And, you know, sometimes there's the candlelight yoga at 11 or something like this, and it's very relaxing. And if we think about it like this, a gentle training that is relaxing, but it is a training, I think maybe it can shift our mind a little bit towards the practice of meditation as a way in which we can develop our attention, our mindfulness, and our concentration. So the other thing I want to kind of maybe address, because my teacher does this. He'll teach about things and then he'll address the obstacles in our mind. And it's very important to address the obstacles in our mind, right? We've got to overcome a few things to see clearly what's being said, to get our motivation going. So if we think about concentration, we might think of it as hard work. Think of concentration. I think of it, I got to concentrate hard on something. Like if I'm studying, I got to cram and concentrate like this. And not for everybody, but some of us can have this kind of, again, connotation with the word or the concept of concentration. Maybe even with concentration, we can think of it as something where our mind is, yes, focused, but maybe there's a tension there, like if we're concentrating too hard. So one thing I'd like to maybe say is that concentration is not hard work. It's not about focusing hard. Okay, again, it's a gentle training in meditation. Okay, we don't want to be too intense. We want to be gentle and relaxed and to find this positive, peaceful energy and experience that arises through the practice, okay? So we don't want to kind of defeat ourselves by being a little too strongly or too rigidly focused, okay? Another thing about concentration, and we are going to meditate, all right? But I wanted to speak a little bit more up front about concentration and meditation before we do it, so we feel like even more ready to do it. Okay, so in our way of teaching, we explain that there are objects of meditation. So there's things that we are concentrated on. It can be an intention, a decision, an idea, a feeling, many different types of object of meditation, and we are instructed to hold the object of meditation without forgetting it. This is mindfulness. To keep it in mind, to hold it not, without forgetting it. But sometimes when we think about concentrating, holding something in mind, having an object, it's almost as if there's a static experience, like I'm holding this object and the book doesn't kind of change or move. I'm holding it without movement. But that is not concentration. Okay, when we're talking about concentrating in meditation or holding an object, it's not a static experience. We could think of it as an experience that's flowing, okay? That we are in this experience of the flow of our mind that is within, let's say, generally a peaceful state, okay? Or to give another example, let's say we are doing a meditation on loving kindness and we find this warm feeling, okay? And then we are encouraged to hold that. But does then by saying, concentrating on this love or holding this, does this mean that our love doesn't change? That it's somehow static, like holding a book, like here it is, got it. And I think we do, maybe for newbies, it's not so important, but for those who've practiced for some time, we may have this misunderstanding that we're somehow kind of to keep something. Like keep it there. Found it. Got it. Yeah. But it's not like that. Because the more that we are, let's say, in the flow of that loving mind, the more loving we are going to feel. So the object is changing, growing, evolving, deepening. Okay? So we start off generating a certain feeling of a warm heart towards someone or many people, many beings. But as we stay within that state, that love and that feeling opens up more, or it deepens. So the object is evolving. So we're just in the flow of this development of that loving mind, not moving outside of that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like not going to tacos or not going to last week or something like that. Boom, boom. We're staying in the flow of that experience. So we are concentrated, but we are moving. Our mind is moving. There's a flow of energy. There's a flow of experience that's happening. Okay? So please think of it like that. Like to hold the mind still doesn't mean to be unmoving in a sense. It means to remain within that experience and allowing it to deepen. Maybe last analogy, just because I love it. We've been studying it lately in our teacher training program. I'm going to read this. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but the initial knowledge, the initial knowledge obtained through our meditation is like a sprout that will later grow into an abundant crop of Dharma or spiritual realizations. By repeatedly meditating on the continuum of this experience, eventually we will gain deep realizations like a crop ripening into a rich harvest. I love this. So we have moments of insight and experience and peaceful feeling, but these are like just a little sprout. And we know that a sprout's growing, right? We're nurturing it. So in the same way, our meditation is nurturing our peace of mind, and that peace of mind is growing. So the practice of mindfulness is not a static thing. The practice of concentration is not a static thing. It's something that's growing and evolving. We're in this flow of peaceful experience. So in this way, I think we can find that concentration as we get into the practice of meditation is deeply enjoyable, right? Like to stay in the flow of a peaceful mind, to stay in the flow of a loving state, that's great. To feel uninterrupted in the flow of that good feeling, that's fantastic. So concentration actually is fun. Concentration is delightful. When we get into this experience of the kind of peaceful flow of the mind, then mindfulness and concentration is delightful. It's like energizing. It's giving us a lot. It's very rich. So we don't have to think of it as like hard work. We can think of it as peaceful enjoyment. Okay. So you ready? You ready to get in the flow? You ready to get in the flow? Inner peace? Yes, of course. Let's do it. Last thing to read about concentration before we get into that state. It's coming from this book, okay? There is a section on concentration. It's in what's the chapter called The Five Object Ascertaining Mental Factors. Very Buddhist language, but all very practical. So here I'm going to read almost a little bit of the kind of benefits. Concentration serves to focus our mind on one object. So I've already explained the object, some type of experience that we are in the flow of. Concentration keeps us with that object, within that experience. It can develop only when the object is held firmly by mindfulness. So we'll look at this after the meditation. What is mindfulness? Okay. Now, in general, neutral concentration is necessary to prevent our mind from becoming distracted. during mundane tasks such as driving, sewing, and cooking. For example, if we are distracted while driving, we may have an accident. And if we are distracted while we are working, we will be inefficient and make many mistakes. Without at least some concentration, we could not even make a cup of tea. We all know that experience, don't we? Go to make coffee or tea, you forget, you get distracted, concentrate on something else, 20 minutes goes by, oh, I was making coffee or tea, go back and do it. So we know this. We know this. Concentration is particularly important for our spiritual practice. Okay, practices such as reciting mantras, listening, contemplating, and meditating are effective only if they're done with a concentrated mind, with a focused mind. Done when we are in that experience of the flow of that practice. And we're within that peace. Okay? That's when they're getting really effective. Something's impacting us more deeply. Pure concentration has four qualities: lucidity, clarity, strength, and stability. Lucidity, clarity, strength, and stability. Doesn't that sound good? To have a mind that has stability, balance, strength, energy, power, clarity, very clear, understanding things without confusion, lucidity, the mind free from distraction, like a clear sky. That's beautiful, to have that, approaching that mental experience. When our mind is free from the turbulence of distracting conceptions, it becomes calm and smooth. When we are enjoying internal peace and happiness, our craving for external sources of pleasure naturally declines, and it is easy to remain content. Oh my gosh, it's a game changer. Because we're seeking so much enjoyment outside of ourselves, right? Seeking stimulation, excitement, pleasurable tastes, sounds, objects of touch, and so forth. But here what's being said is that when we get in that flow of meditation, that peaceful mind, we're so happy, deeply contented, that we don't want anything else. That sense of attachment or craving just automatically diminishes, and so our mind is so much more peaceful. That nourishing energy is ours. You know, this is like our food instead of our other food. This peace and happiness, this internal peace and happiness is something we enjoy. Pure concentration also helps to make our body and mind comfortable. So not only our mind, but our body too. We know this, like if we're very, very distracted or scattered, how do we feel physically? We got a tension in the mind, tension in the body. So when we get into that experience of a concentrated mind, the flow of inner peace, even physically, we're more comfortable, less stress, less pain, and so forth. And further, it says, ordinary people, this just means like all of us in general, regard samsaric enjoyments, possessions, and money as beneficial. And so they put all their effort into getting these, acquiring these. But Dharma practitioners, meditators, see the great benefits of concentration and strive earnestly to attain it. Concentration gives us the freedom to accomplish whatever we wish for. Without concentration, our mind has no freedom but is forced to go wherever it is led by attachment, hatred, or other delusions. A person who has good, virtuous concentration has control over his mind, and his mind does what he wants it to do, like a well-trained horse that obeys its rider. I love this. Concentration gives us the freedom, the ability, the power, and gives us the ability to accomplish whatever we wish for, whatever we're focused on. So if we ever have some kind of difficulty in accomplishing some things, we can ask, how concentrated are we on our goals? Or how distracted are we? Understanding the mind has power, that it can become well-trained through this gentle practice, just like a well-trained horse, and that through the training, the gentle training of the mind, we will that reduce distraction and gain that power to focus our mind on the path that we want to follow, the mental or thought path that we want to follow.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.